Number 18. Luke chapter 18. You pray for us. Luke chapter 18, you find your place. Let's stand together in reverence of God's word, and the God of this word will honor you. Luke chapter 18, verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them on this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Folks, if we don't pray, we'll faint. If you don't pray, you'll give up. You'll quit. Amen? He said that men are always to pray and not faint. Saying there was in a city a certain a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Thank you. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word as we look to him in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray you take your word, add your blessings to it, speak to our hearts through the message this morning. Lord, put a guard about these lips of clay. I not say anything and not be pleasing to you. Lord, I know that I cannot do nothing of myself. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to my heart right now. And Lord, you just move in this service. In Jesus' holy, wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Jesus asked the question. He said, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith on the earth? He's not talking about saving faith. I realize that saving faith is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Yes. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Yes. Saving faith is a different faith than faith altogether. Yes. Now I want you to listen to me. You can be saved and not have faith. Amen. The disciples, Jesus told them, said, let's get into the ship and go to the other side. And they got into the ship and it was passing on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they had a storm. And the disciples were afraid and came and woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus spoke to the storm. He calmed the sea. He said, why did you have no faith? I believe there's four different types of faith talked about in the Gospels account here, and especially here in the book of Luke. Oh, yeah. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to Jerusalem, and he saw the fig tree, and he decided, he said the fig to have something to eat off of it. When he got there, he found there was no fruit on it, and he cursed the fruit, the tree, and the tree dried up and died. And the next day, they're coming out, and the disciples saw the tree was dead, and they said something to Jesus about it. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Yes, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and cast in the sea, and it would be done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just as a grain of mustard seed. We need faith in God. Amen. Jesus said that the possibility of having little faith. He was talking to the disciples about being not taking thought of tomorrow and what they should wear and what they should put on and what they should eat. And he said, O ye of little faith. But then there's the possibility of having increased faith. The disciples asked Jesus, said, increase our faith. There's a possibility of having great faith. The centurion's daughter was sick unto death, and Jesus spoke the word and she was healed. And he said, Lord, you don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word.
Yeah.
He said, I've not seen such great faith. Yeah. No, not in all Israel.
Yeah.
There's a possibility of having failing faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter had failing faith. Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. You say, Brother Twitty, why do you ask the question? Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man come, will he find faith on the earth? Here was Jesus giving the story of a widow woman who had no standing in Israel, had no man to speak for her, but yet she comes to this judge who was unjust. He did not revere God. He did not regard man. And she kept persistently coming to him. She had faith that as long as she came and she was persistent, he would hear her call. And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this type of faith on the earth? You say, preacher, why is that? Well, when I look around and I see the decline of spirituality in our churches, I wonder will the Lord find faith when He comes. Amen? Folks, let's face it. If the brother just got through preaching, we're just not very spiritual anymore. Amen. We've lost our amens, our hallelujahs, and our praise the Lord, and we replaced them with a clapping of the hands. You go to most churches, and every time somebody gets up and sings, every time somebody does something, they clap their hands. That's not giving praise unto God. God is a jealous God, and God will not share His glory or His praise with anyone else.
Amen.
Folks, we're just not very spiritual when it comes right down to it. Amen. We've left the old past. We've left and move the ancient landmarks. In our preaching, in our singing, and in our worship. Amen. We've got the ways of Hollywood and the Grand Ole Opry in our churches. Amen. I'm telling you, we're just not very spiritual. You go to churches, you can hear it in the preaching. Boy, you can hear it in the music. They've done away with the song books. They've taken the blood out of the hymnals. Amen. They put it up on the screen where you can read it. These 7-11 songs. My friend got 7 words to sing 11 times. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You get to singing a song or you get music, my friend, if it gets in your foot before it gets in your heart, you better junk it. We're just not very spiritual anymore. There's been a slipping in Bible standards in our churches. I was telling one of the men, we was talking and discussing church attire right after breakfast this morning. And I was telling him I went out to Iowa. I went to visit a church out there and the deacons come to church with Bermuda shorts on. I'm not going to tell you what the ladies had on. Well, I take that back. I'm not going to tell you what the women had on. because they sure wasn't dressed like ladies. Amen. We're in a day of ungodliness, and we've let the Bible standards slip in our churches. I'm talking about fundamental independent Baptist churches. Amen. Because we're so afraid of being called Pharisees, my friend, we've let the Bible standards slip. I'd rather be a Pharisee, be called a Pharisee, my friend, than be a hypocrite. Amen. And be a compromiser. Amen. It's time that God's people start standing up and preachers start preaching this book again. Amen. What makes me sick, people tell me, well, you ain't got, preacher ain't going to tell me how to live. Well, that preacher ain't trying to tell you how to live. He's trying to tell you what God said, how you ought to live. Amen. That preacher didn't write that book. He just delivered you what thus saith the Lord God. Amen. If you got a problem with the preacher, your problem ain't with the preacher. Your problem's with God. Amen. We're just not very spiritual, folks. I mean, the thing about it is our church attendance proves that we're just not very spiritual. Amen? There's a decline in church attendance. People are just not very spiritual. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more, exhorting one another, but so much the more as you see that day approaching. We've got people in our churches that care less whether they come to the house of God or not. Amen. That's a discouragement to the pastor. It's a discouragement to the church. It's a discouragement to everybody there. And the thing about it is when you don't come to church and you fail to show up, you're telling your church and you're telling your pastor, I don't care. Well, folks, unfaithfulness to the house of God. Preacher went down, was doing some shopping. He was down at Walmart. And he went in to run into one of his church members. He said, I hadn't seen you at church for a while. He said, well, you know how it is. Preacher said, we've had this flu season, this flu epidemic going around. He said, all my family's been sick with the flu. And everything, he said, it's passed through the whole thing. He said, but the flu season's over with you. Well, you know, they've had this other virus come up this year, stomach sickness, and we've had it went through all of our families. Said, but I'm thank God it's over with now. Yeah. Well, said, why don't you? Well, you know, it's been raining a lot. And the preacher said, well, it's dry down at the church. He said, that's another reason we hadn't been coming. You know, the thing about it is sometimes we make it dry ourselves. I think sometimes it's the pastor's responsibility to teach their people how to praise the Lord. And it shows in our worship that we're way behind in our praise and our giving thanks unto God. Amen. Folks, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to be thankful. We're living in the most ungrateful generation that's ever lived. Amen? Folks, we can raise the generations of kids that's ungrateful, they're unthankful, and it's because they're unthankful is because we're unthankful. I mean, the kids go to church and they hear, you know, Daddy get up and say, I thank God that He's blessed me and all this here. And he says, I see all this here praise in church, but I don't see none of it home. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the problem is we're living an inconsistent life. And our testimony does not back up what we're living. We live one way at church. We live another way at home. And we live another way on the job. Amen. You ought to live the same way at home and on your job as you live in church. We ought to be consistent in our Christian living. I'm going to tell you something. These things just prove we just ain't very spiritual. Amen. Then I see because of the increase of worldliness in our churches. Increase of worldliness in our churches. There's just too much hobnobbing with the world. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If it looks like a duck, it wobbles like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And if you look like the world, you smell like the world, you talk like the world, you act like the world, you must be worldly, or either you're lost. We're just too much worldliness in the church. I'm going to tell you something. I like to have fun as much as anybody. I like to kid and joke around as much as anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't carry on a bunch of foolishness in the house of God and expect to get up and find God when it's time to preach. Somebody's already preached this week. You can't be a buddy to your people either. Amen. You've got to be the man of God. Amen. I'm not saying that a man of God is on a pedestal above everybody else, but there's a difference in the man of God and the person sitting in the pew. You can't be his buddy and preach to him, thus saith the Lord God. Amen. And there's just too much worldliness in the house of God. Worldliness is anything that comes between you and God and takes away from your time from God. I believe worldliness, or the develop of worldliness, is in four stages. First of all, I believe James says that we become friends with the world. James said, now I'm going to tell you something. Now this here's some strong language. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And he that will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. He said you're committing spiritual adultery when you become friends with the world. Amen. We become friends with the world. James said you become spotted by the world. You can't lay down with dogs without getting up with fleas. If you like the prodigal son, you get in the hog pen, you're going to get mud on you. Amen. True religion and undefiled before the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You become friend with the world. You become spotted by the world. Pretty soon you'll start loving the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember Billy Kelly was preaching a meeting in Alpine Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. And he preached on everything. He shot everything. I believe it was Brother Bill Swartner said he preached one of our cat messages. Amen. It clawed everything that moved. One of them tomcat messages. And every night he was shot at everything that moved. Some of the stuff didn't move. And this lady come up to him after service and said, I'm not coming back to hear you anymore because you will not preach on love. He told her, sister, if you'll come back, come every night, I'll promise you on Friday night, I'll preach on love. Yeah. She come back every night, and he was there on Friday night. He preached on love, not the world. Yeah. Neither the things that are in the world. Yeah. Amen. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back to preaching love, not the world. Yeah. We got too many people in our churches that's worldly. Amen. And I'm talking about some of the best fundamental churches. I want to tell you something. Pretty soon you'll be conformed to the world. Paul told the church at Rome, he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We need not to be. If you start being spotted by the world and become friends with the world and loving the world and being conformed to the world, you'll end up being condemned with the world. I mean, that proves. Because of our worldliness in our decline in spirituality, that we're just not very spiritual anymore. Amen? Yes. Then there's a general disregard, my friend, for sound doctrine and disrespect for the things of God. I mean, we're living in a day and time when the man of God used to be revered years ago. If a man was a preacher looked up to him. People looked up to him. And now if you tell them you're a preacher, they snicker and they laugh. Why? Because there's no respect for the man of God. There's a general disregard for the holy things of God. Amen. They're trying to change God's book. Amen. They're trying to do away with the Word of God. As I said before, they're trying to take the blood out of all the hymn books. Yes. Amen. No respect for the things of God. People come to church. Their kids start cutting up. The first thing they do is they give them a pencil or a crayon, hand them a song book, and let them write and color in them.
Yeah, come on. That's the truth.
I'm going to tell you something. The hymnal is the second most significant and holy book in the house of God. And you have no business defacing it and having your children play in it and tear the pages out of it and write in it and stick the chewing gum in it and shut the pages. Amen. There is a general disregard and disrespect for the holy things of God. People just have no respect for God anymore. There's no fear of God. You know the reason there's no fear of God in the world today? Because there's no fear of God in the house of God today. Amen. We come to the house of God and we're just as bad and just as guilty as the world most of the time. He's just a good old fella upstairs. He is a holy God, and we need to reverence him as a holy God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We better get back to reverencing God. We better get back to reverencing this book. We better get back to reverencing and respecting the holy things of God. Amen. And respecting the man of God, because God said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm." Folks, we just not very spiritual when it comes down to it. And I'm glad, thank God, we've got some old saints of God in the Word of God that has stood for the God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I stole this from Brother Steve Goosby. Brother Steve was out. I was on a secular job and doing a job in Greenville, North Carolina, and Brother Goosby come out there and held a meeting. I went over, heard him, and backed him in the meeting. And boy, I will tell you, Brother Steve got up there preaching, and you could see them people in that congregation. They just, Brother Steve looked at him. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I know I'm not going to change you, but I'm letting you know you're not changing me." Amen. It's about time we started to take a stand and let the devil know, glory to God, I may not change him, but he ain't going to change me. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for truth. And I'm going to respect the things of God. I'm going to reverence God. And I'm going to let the devil know whose side I'm on. Yeah.